I'm going to remain with the sermon theme that Pastor Rick had planned and go with the reading from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6 for our sermon message today. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Joys of being my age is I got to grow up as a child in the 1960s. While I can look around and see some of you were the hippies of the 60s, I was but a mere 8, 9, 10 years old at that time. And it was a great time to be a child. For on my block with just 24 houses, we had 57 children. Yes, one side of the street was Roman Catholic, the other side were Lutherans. Didn't matter. They all loved to have children back in those days. And there was never a shortage of children. Now, the unfortunate thing is there was only 3 girls on that street. I didn't care about that until the 1970s. But in the 1960s, as a child, it was great because we were able to play every sport and game imaginable. The problem is, how do you choose teams? How do you go out and make sure that you have the best team to win? I don't care what they say, that winning doesn't matter. To an 8-year-old boy, winning matters. And what do? You choose teams. Now, how do you do that? Well, you base it on whether the person's a good player or if they're your friend. If they're a new kid in the block, they always got chosen last. Or not at all. How many of you remember how we picked teams in the 60s with a baseball bat? You would throw it at somebody, they'd catch it, and then you would go up and down, and what would you do? Eagle claw, okay? That's how you got to pick your captains, who would choose the teams. And it was great. It was wonderful. And it never bothered me that some of the kids never got chosen. Once I got a little older, then you start getting a heart, right? You start realizing some children are left out. And it doesn't change. You get to 7th grade, what happens? They start having dances. Now a boy has to choose what girl he's going to go pick to dance with him, if he even has nerve to go do it. And how do boys do that? They base it on 2 things, whether they're pretty and their physical attributes. I'm going to be honest, that's how they do it. Boys could care less if a girl has a pretty smile or they're nice. They worry about that on the second date. What about the Sadie Hawkins dance? Now the women have to choose. What do us boys do in order to be chosen? We puff up our little chest, because let's face it, that's all 7th grade boys have. We start running around making fools of ourselves, trying to impress the women. We start telling corny jokes. Take and we comb our hair really cool. You can see, can you imagine me at 7th grade and if I'm like this at 61? So we do these things to be chosen. And you notice everything I mentioned at the beginning of this is the earthly ways we handle on ways to be chosen. It's based on what we do, how we look, if we're funny, if we have a pretty smile. It's based on something we do or can do by improving ourselves. So we come to our reading today and we hear something from God that gives us comfort, but it confuses the heck out of us because it goes against your natural tendencies and my natural tendencies. See, if I wasn't chosen on the baseball team, I'd just try to get better. Here we're hearing about how God has chosen you and me to be adopted into the family through his son Jesus, And it gives us comfort, but then we sit back and we say, well, why would he do that? Why would God look down upon us? Now remember, God is holy, just, righteous, king of this universe, perfect without blemish. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in their perfect union as one, reached out from eternity and decided to create this universe and to create people to love. And before he even did this, he decided to love you, to choose you, to bring you into the family before you even sinned. Before our first mother and father had an opportunity to sin in the garden, God chose you from all eternity to love and to spend eternity with. And you don't need to do a thing for him to do this. It is all God's work. And we hear this today, this reading, that does and should give you comfort. Because you don't have to have the perfect hair. You don't have to have the perfect attitude. You don't have to be this or that. There is absolutely nothing you need to do for God to love you. That is who God is. He pours out his grace upon you and me who do not deserve it, and he gives it to you freely. And that's what I mean about it goes against everything you and I feel or want to do, and that's comfortable. See, it was just a few short years ago. Yeah, it's funny how you look back at 15 years as just a few short years ago, that my wife and I were sitting here, and I was a broken man. Hadn't been in church for 10 years. I heard how God worked through Pastor Mark to share the gospel message with me, that you're saved through grace, through faith, and it's not of your own. It is a blessing from God. That's what it is. And for the first time in my 43 years, I was set free. And I didn't need to earn my salvation. That God the Father loved me enough that he sent forth his Son from the glorious place we call heaven down to this earth to save you and me from our sins. The people out there need to know this. That God sent his Son to come and hang on a cross and let his blood drip down it one day so that he can redeem me and buy me back from all of my sins. Yeah. And he's done this for you. He's done this for the world. And he's offering this freely for everyone. For those who believe on his Son, Jesus Christ, he gives his faith. And God does this all, and he comes to you. I wrote this down because I didn't want to forget to share this portion with you, even though you're going to pick up on it as the theme. But we're chosen by God the Father. We're redeemed in Christ. And what we hear in God's word today, when you hear Ephesians in a little while, and it is sealed with the Holy Spirit. So you and I haven't fully received the blessings that God has planned for us. That is eternal salvation and spending eternity with him. Never knowing what pain and suffering is again. Never knowing what sin is. Never having to worry about saying bad words to your spouse. Or ignoring your children, or worse, ignoring your 7 or 13-week-old puppy. Yeah, that's what I have at home. And he looked at me yesterday like, where's the love? And I told him, I'm busy. He didn't understand. See, when we look at the eternal things that God has to offer, we keep going back to our earthly desires. We keep looking for the blessings of the house we want, the car we want, the spouse we want, the children that listen, the boss that understands, the senior pastor that's going to appreciate what I'm doing. We look for these things on earth, and we want that now. And then we also treat God the way we do each other. Now, I know each of you every week have heard the gospel message from the pastors here. I know I've heard the messages. They're Christ-centered, gospel-centered. Yes, the law's there. But I know that you and I still treat God like we do each other. And here's what I mean. I'm going to share this with you. My wife and I finally are going to get a house we've always wanted. We're going to get ready to move probably in 5 weeks. And the family we're buying it from are really wonderful people. They're a little bit younger than us, but they're nice. And they've invited us over for dinner with them before we even buy the house. We hit it off. We're going to go have dinner with them. What's the first thing my wife and I said to each other? Here they're offering us this nice meal and to be in their presence. It's the first things we said. What are we going to take? Are we going to take a bottle of wine? Are we going to take them some flowers? We can't even receive this nice gift from them without wanting to give back. And what do you do when you get invited to something like that? You get there, you're probably going to say, what can I do to help you? How many of you have done that? Let's see. You get to somebody's house, they offer you hospitality, and the first thing you say, what can I do to help you? Well, we do the same thing to God. I know you've heard that God has chosen you because of his love for you. I know you know that Jesus Christ came to this earth, died on a cross for you, walked out of a tomb, and that is all that is needed for your salvation. Believe. And he's given you that gift in your baptism, that faith to believe. And yet, what do we say to God? Oh, I know I got to help you, God. I'm not quite sure everything you've done on that cross was enough. I'm going to read your word, and I'm going to see how I should act. No, you shouldn't act like that for your salvation. You should act like that because you've been saved. And out of gratitude, it's the same as we offer up our praise to God. You see the blessings he's given you, and you offer up your praise. But what we do is we think we're going to praise him, and he's going to bless us. And there's some blessings in that. But if you look around, everything you have comes from God. So that's why we offer up our praise. That's why we come here now. Offer up praise to God who has already given you everything you need. He's given you that gift of salvation in his son. And that's why we come here. To give thanks and praise to God for his great mercy he's shown to you. We don't act like Christians for salvation. It's a reaction to his love, his grace, his mercy to you. That's why we love each other. Because he first loved you. Now you can love each other by forgiving when we've done wrong, by asking for forgiveness when we're wrong, by receiving his forgiveness and then giving up prayers and praise of thanksgiving. Isn't this wonderful God that has called you into his presence today? And yes, our God is a God that forgives. Because this week, I struggled on how am I going to do a service just 2 weeks after closing a church. And I've come to this conclusion that God works through men, sinful men, even like Pastor Mark, to encourage men like me to get back into ministry. Because my natural instinct is to go and hide, lick my wounds. That could be longer than God's plans for me. I might have went and hid for a year. And I truly believe this is God's way working through Pastor Mark and everything else to get me back into ministry, whether I'm ready for it or not. And guess what, my friends? His grace is sufficient. Because you know where he brought me to get back into ministry? Home. He brought me back to you guys. So as my heart breaks, I see nothing but friends. And I see people that will give me encouragement. And a kick in the butt when I need it. To get back out there and share the love of Christ in this world. And that is what he's doing today. Now go share that love with your neighbors, your friends, your family, even the strangers he brings into your life today, so that they can have the same hope that you have in Christ Jesus. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord until he returns to bring you home with him. Amen.